Hey everyone, and welcome back to Science TLDR. You know the drill, we get together and break down the coolest new science for all of you. Today, we're diving deep into this really neat paper.
Yeah, it's called Embodied Large Language Models Enable Robots to Complete Complex Tasks in Unpredictable Environments. Catchy, right?
Straight to the point. I like it. And it's fresh out of Nature Machine Intelligence.
Right, hot off the press stuff.
So what we're looking at today is this idea of getting robots to do complicated things out in the wild, not just in the lab. It's kind of a big deal, a step change in machine intelligence, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And the paper lays out this new framework they're calling ELMR, short for Embodied Large Language Model Enabled Robot.
ELMR, huh? Sounds like a friendly robot buddy. So break it down for me. What's going on under the hood?
Okay, so at its core, ELMR combines a few key things. We're talking GPT-4, which I'm sure most people have heard of by now.
Oh yeah, the language model making waves everywhere. Exactly. That's giving the system its language understanding and reasoning chops. Then they've got this retrieval augmented generation setup, ARGI for short.
ARGI, huh? Is that like giving the robot a cheat sheet for the real world?
In a way, yes. It lets the language model tap into a constantly updated knowledge base, so it's not just stuck with what it learned during training.
Makes sense. Keeps the robot in the loop, so to speak.
Exactly. And then the last piece of the puzzle is the sensory feedback, both force and vision, so the robot can actually feel and see what it's doing.
Okay, so it's not just thinking, it's sensing and acting too. That's where the embodied part comes in, I guess.
You got it. And that's what makes this research so exciting. It's really pushing the boundaries of what robots can do.
You mentioned embodied earlier, and the paper talks about embodied cognition as a key inspiration. Can you unpack that a bit for our listeners?
Sure. Embodied cognition basically says that our intelligence isn't just this abstract thing happening in our brains. It's deeply tied to our bodies, our senses, and our interactions with the world.
So to create truly intelligent machines, maybe we need to stop thinking about just the brain and start thinking about the whole body.
Exactly. And that's the bet this research is making. It's saying that to have robots that can work alongside us in all sorts of environments, they need to be more like us, more embodied.
Right. Not just following pre-programmed instructions, but actually understanding and responding to the world around them.
Precisely. And that's where this idea of physical intelligence comes in, where intelligence isn't just about crunching numbers. It's about physically interacting with and adapting to the environment.
Fascinating stuff. So how does ELMR actually work? The paper shows a diagram, figure one, that lays out the architecture. Can we walk through that?
Absolutely. Imagine you give the robot a command like, hey, I'm beat and my friends are coming over for cake soon. Can you make me some coffee and maybe doodle something fun on a plate?
Sounds like a pretty typical Tuesday night.
Right. So that command, along with a visual snapshot from the robot's camera, goes straight into GPT-4. Now, here's where the RAG part comes in. GPT-4 also has access to this knowledge base, kind of like a library of robot skills.
So GPT-4 is like the brains of the operation, taking in information and figuring out what to do?
Yeah, you could say that. It uses the command, the visual input, and its knowledge base to generate code. This code basically tells the robot controller what to do, step by step.
And this controller, that's what actually gets the robot moving.
Exactly. It translates those high-level instructions into specific control signals for the robot's arm and hand, telling it how to move, where to go, and how much force to use.
So the robot is constantly adjusting its movements based on these control signals.
Right. It's actually getting feedback at 40 hertz, so it's constantly checking its position and making corrections as needed. That's what allows it to move smoothly and accurately.
And it's not just internal feedback, right?
Yeah.
The robot is also using its vision and sense of touch to interact with the world.
Exactly. The vision system uses a depth camera, so it can see objects in 3D and figure out their position and orientation.
So it can actually locate the coffee mug, the coffee grounds, the hot water, all that jazz.
Yep. And the force sensor in its wrist lets it feel how much pressure it's applying. That's crucial for things like gripping objects without crushing them or pouring liquids without making a mess.
Back to our coffee and doodle scenario. The robot has to figure out how to make the coffee and draw a fun little picture, all from that one command.
Right. It's not just a pre-programmed sequence. It has to use its reasoning skills, its knowledge base, and its sensory feedback to work it out.
So it might check its library of skills and say, okay, to make coffee, I need to locate the mug, scoop the coffee grounds, pour hot water, and so on.
Exactly. And it can adapt those skills on the fly. Maybe the coffee mug is in a different spot than usual, or maybe it needs to adjust the pouring speed based on the type of mug.
Okay, now let's talk about this RGAG thing, the Retrieval Augmented Generation. It seems like a big deal for keeping the robot's knowledge base up to date.
It's huge. Think of it like this. Instead of cramming all the world's knowledge into the language model's brain beforehand, we give it access to a constantly growing library.
So it can learn new things and adapt to new situations without having to retrain the entire model.
Exactly. In this study, they used a simple markdown file as their knowledge base, but the framework can be hooked up to more sophisticated systems.
So it's like giving the robot access to the internet, but curated for specific robot skills.
That's a great analogy. It allows for constant learning and improvement without bogging down the system.
Now let's dive into the specifics of the robot's senses, starting with vision. What kind of hardware are we talking about here?
They used an Azure Kinect DK depth camera. It captures color and depth information at a good resolution and frame rate, and they were very careful about calibrating it to the robot's arm.
Calibration, why is that so important?
Because if the robot's vision is off by even a tiny bit, it can mess up its movements. Like imagine trying to grab a coffee mug if your depth perception was skewed.
You'd be spilling coffee everywhere.
Exactly. So they used a special marker called an April tag to get that sub-millimeter accuracy.
So the robot can see clearly, but how does it actually recognize objects?
They use a model called Grounded Segment Anything. It can take a language description like white cup and highlight the corresponding pixels in the image.
So it's like, show me where the white cup is.
Precisely. And then they use those highlighted pixels to figure out the cup's 3D position and orientation.
Cool. So how well did the vision system work? The paper mentions a 100% success rate in identifying a white cup, but also some limitations.
Yeah, under perfect conditions, it worked like a charm. But real life is messy, right? The system had trouble with objects that looked very similar, objects it had never seen before, and situations where the view was blocked.
So, like if the cup was partially hidden behind the coffee maker, the robot might miss it.
Right. Vision is still a tough nut to crack in robotics, especially in dynamic, cluttered environments.
Makes sense. Now let's talk about touch. What kind of force sensing did they use?
They had an ATI multi-axis force and torque sensor in the robot's wrist. It basically gives the robot a sense of touch, letting it feel how much pressure it's applying and how much resistance it's encountering.
So back to our coffee scenario. This is what allows the robot to grip the mug without crushing it or pour the water without splashing it everywhere.
Exactly. They showed that the robot could control the pouring speed quite accurately, but only up to a point. At high speeds, the liquid dynamics get more complex, and the robot's model struggled to keep up.
So a gentle pour is fine, but no speed pouring competitions for this robot just yet.
Uh-huh, right. But it highlights the importance of force feedback for fine-grained manipulation tasks.
The paper also mentions the robot's artistic side, using DALL-E to generate and then draw images. That sounds pretty fun.
Yeah, it's a cool demo. They would give DALL-E a prompt like random bird, and it would generate an image. Then the robot would trace the outlines of that image using force feedback to control the pen pressure.
So it's like turning digital art into physical art, with the robot acting as the artist's hand.
Exactly. And it shows the potential of combining these different AI systems to do creative things in the real world.
Now, how did Elmer stack up against existing approaches? They did a comparison with VoxPoser, right?
Right. VoxPoser also uses language models for robot control, but it doesn't have the RAG component or the force feedback.
So it's a good benchmark for seeing how much those extra features actually matter.
Exactly. They tested both systems on a bunch of human-like commands and measured how accurately the robot planned its actions. They call this answer faithfulness.
So higher faithfulness means the robot is better at understanding the command and coming up with a plan that actually makes sense.
Exactly. And the results were pretty clear. Across the board, Elmer with RAG had significantly higher faithfulness scores than the baseline.
So that dynamic knowledge access really makes a difference.
It does. It allows the robot to be more flexible and adaptable, which is crucial for real-world scenarios where things don't always go according to plan.
As we wrap up, what are the big takeaways from this research? What are the implications for the future of robotics?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway is that we're seeing a real convergence of cognitive abilities and physical skills in robots. Elmer shows that it's possible to have a robot that can understand complex language, reason about its environment, and execute intricate tasks, all while adapting to uncertainties in real time.
It's like we're moving beyond those clunky industrial robots and towards something much more sophisticated and versatile.
Right. And the use of RAG opens up a whole new world of possibilities for lifelong learning and adaptation. The robot can constantly update its knowledge base and acquire new skills without needing a complete overhaul.
So we can imagine robots that can learn from experience, just like humans do.
Exactly. And that leads to the final point, this idea of physical intelligence. It's not just about processing information, it's about physically interacting with the world and learning from those interactions.
It's about embodiment, bringing together mind and body in a way that we haven't really seen before in machines.
Exactly, and I think that's what makes this research so exciting. It's not just about building better robots, it's about rethinking what intelligence means in a physical, embodied world.
And that brings us to the end of our deep dive. For our listeners who want to explore further, we highly recommend checking out the full paper. It's packed with fascinating details and insights.
Absolutely, and I'm sure there's a lot more to come in this field. We're just scratching the surface of what embodied AI can do.
So as we always say, stay curious, keep exploring, and we'll catch you next time on Science TLDR.
See you then.
Before we go, let's recap those three major takeaways from the results. First, Elmer seamlessly blends a large language model, in this case GPT-4, with retrieval augmented generation, that's RAG, and force and vision feedback. And this allows the robot to tackle complex tasks, even those that span a longer time, all from simple verbal instructions.
Second, using retrieval augmented generation, RAG, really boosts the robot's accuracy and reliability. It's not just about understanding the command, but making sure the robot's actions actually match what's intended, which is super important for real-world applications.
And finally, that multimodal sensory feedback, the force and vision working together, allows the robot to adapt to a changing environment and perform tasks with much greater precision. It's not just seeing, it's feeling its way through the task.
Absolutely. And for all of you listening, think about this. What if robots could achieve a kind of physical intelligence through this idea of embodied cognition? How could this change not just how we automate things, but also how we understand intelligence itself?
And how might this reshape how we interact with robots in our daily lives, especially as our world becomes increasingly unpredictable?
It's a question worth pondering. And that's a wrap for today. Thanks for tuning in to Science TLDR.
See you next time.
Bye for now.